Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Exodus 13, verse 3. Exodus 13, verse 3. So Moses said to the people, "This is a day to remember forever, the day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. Today the Lord has brought you out by the hand." I want you to know today, as I'm on assignment today for the word to be delivered, there are certain days that are set aside to remember. There are certain times that are set aside to remember. Tomorrow, I love that our country sets aside a day out of the year to say, it's Memorial Day. It's Remembrance Day. It's Decoration Day. I think it's very important to remember several things. See, God goes on in this passage to tell His people how to celebrate as they remember. When you are told what to do as you celebrate, you start developing customs around a remembrance. Here is my prayer. My prayer is that we don't develop a custom of partying and barbecuing and doing a bunch of stuff that's fun on Memorial Weekend. Not that we can't do what's fun, but we can't forget what this is about. Memorial Day. Memorial Day, it's important. And I'm going to speak it and talk about it because our young people need to know that in church, we recognize the importance of remembrance. We recognize the importance of certain days. May 5th, 1868, Major General John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was an organization made up of Union veterans, they set aside May 30th as Decoration Day to commemorate fallen soldiers by adorning their graves with flowers. Now, General Logan's order declared that we should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. I like this. "Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic." Now, I don't know if you're able to follow that, but you say, where did this come from? Well, May 5th, 1868, you might just say, that's a day in history that was very important. Let's move to another day. Memorial Day has been acknowledged as a national holiday since 1971. An act of Congress established its observance on the last Monday in May. So you got to know that there's a reason why we're going to see the banks close tomorrow. Not so that we can all go to the lake, although there's nothing wrong going to the lake. We just can't forget what this is set aside for. In 2000, Congress passed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, asking all Americans to pause at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day for a minute of silence, let's just say to the Christian, for a moment of prayer, in remembrance for all those that have died in military service to America. Introducing what I want to talk about today, Memorial Day is primarily given to remember those who have died, whether it be loved ones, friends, or those who have died for their country. And so as you turn on the TV tomorrow, you'll see a lot of different things going on of remembrance. And we're instructed in the Word dozens of times that the Word of God says to remember certain things. The Israelites themselves were admonished to keep various days and events of their national history. They were to remember. Can we just pray right now? Would you bow your heads with me? And I just want to, today in church, I want to remember those that fought for our country and allowed us, through the power of Jesus, to live in the freedom we live in. Father, today I give you praise. Lord, I ask that you bring to our hearts sometime tomorrow, especially maybe around 3, because I understand that that's what our country has said to set aside. And Lord, we're doing that not because there's significance in that time, but there's significance in what we're doing. And we are remembering those that have gone before us, that marked out a path, that died serving our country. Lord, I give you praise for men and women who stood up so that we can have the freedom that we walk in today. I give you praise. I give you thanks that you impacted our life through their lives. And Lord, all praise and all honor goes to you. And we give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, there are many things the Lord asks us to remember. And I don't know about you, but there are things that I try to remember and I forget. I don't know if anybody does. That's why you have alarms on your phone. Or at least that's what I use my alarm on my phone. I got to remember. See, many things are supposed to be important. And so as you set up reminders because they're important, then you forget them. And you're like, how did I forget that? Anybody ever do that? I mean, I find myself there. And then I also, the older I get, I go places in life, in the country, and I remember certain times of my life. And I just, something I can see or a visual that makes me go, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember what happened right there. I remember that particular time. And the older, when I used to travel around with my grandfather, he's got every place in the country brings a remembrance to him. I mean, I actually, when I was 14 years old, got to tour Europe where he had been stationed in World War II, and he'd look over at a mountain, and he said, on that mountain right there, I set up communication to go from that mountain to that mountain so that our country could, and so we set up and established in Europe the communication ability. And I was like, how do you remember that? I mean, I was 14 thinking he was old then. How do you remember? Well, there was something that just brought to remembrance as he looked over there. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I've seen that before. Certain things bring remembrance. And so, as you can understand that in your life, when someone goes on after having passed from this life, they're usually put in a graveyard with a gravestone. And that's one of the things Arlington, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's just so beautiful because they go around and set wreaths and they remember those that served. And it's just a really, really awesome thing as I think about that. The idea that we are not going to forget. And it's not about a gravestone. It's not about something that's set up. It's just a place where we can look and say, remember, remember, remember. That's important to me. And I think that as I was praying about what God would have me talk about today, I couldn't get this out of my head. For the Christian life, we need to have those places. In fact, if we want to look at it in Scripture, and I'm going to start talking about this, so I'm going to kind of shift gears. And I want to go to a term that the Bible uses called altar. An altar. Altars. We need to have altars in our life. And you say, well, we got them, Pastor. They're right up here at the front of the church. No, no, no. I want to talk about this from a different perspective than you may have ever heard about before. I want to talk today about not just remembering something that took place because you put it as a reminder in your phone, but because you have an altar experience where God did something profound. Genesis chapter 12. Y'all with me today? Genesis 12, verse 1. Studying Abraham is a great opportunity to understand more about this. The Lord had said to Abram in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Very, very important. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all his wealth, his livestock, all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem, and there he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And you know what Abram did? He didn't say, that's great. That's wonderful. Here's what he said. He didn't say nothing. He did. It says, and Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. Romans 4 says, we are Abraham's seed. If you can read all through, and you don't have to turn there, but Romans 4 just talks a lot about the blessings of Abraham being ours, according to Scripture, because we're Abraham's seed. And if God promised to us or to Abraham that he was going to bless all the families through him, that's you and I, because we are Abraham's seed. Now, something about seed is you got to do something with it for it to produce. So I understand all of that part, and I'm not getting into a lot of that, but the seed that came to us because we are Abraham's means that you're in store for a blessing. You're in store for fruit. You're in store for something really good in your life. See, the question, though, is how do we cultivate the seed that the Bible says is ours and see that? How are we going to get that? See, God said to Abraham all of these promises. He says, leave your native country. There's a lot of symbolism here that we can see as a type and shadow for us. Leave your native country. What you got to know is before you were saved, you had to make a decision to leave the old way of life. I'm going to leave the old way of life. That old man, we're going to bury. He's not going to be here no more. Leave your native country. See, we got to leave the way that we were born. We were born into sin, and we've got to be born of God. We got to leave the way we work. And then it says, go to the land I will show you. And I love the way that the NLT brings that out. Go to the land that I will show you. Well, that's all great. If I keep going to where you're going to show me, am I ever going to get there? And a lot of Christians live just wanting to head the land, but don't know if they're ever going to get there. What I want you to know is, as you read that, you talked about, okay, go here, and then he kept going a little deeper because God keeps showing. In the Christian life, you're always going to be shown more. You're always going to be shown more. You're going to always be shown. There's always more. I praise God that I am not where I was 20 years ago, and 20 years ago I was still saved. So I've been shown more. There's always more land. There's always more. I'm going to keep showing you. Let's just say it like that. I'm going to keep showing you more. I'm going to keep showing you. Well, why do I need to come to church again? Because you're going to get equipped to go do the ministry. Well, I'm already equipped. Let me just tell you, there's more. There's always more. There's always more. There's always more available. So God says, I will show you more. You got to leave where you were, and then I'm going to show you more. Isn't that the life of a Christian? I've left where I was, and I'm going to be shown more. I'm going to be shown more. Every day, there's more of the land that God is wanting to show you, more of the Christian life that you can live, more of an unlimited, all-knowing God that you're not. An unlimited, all-knowing God. Praise God that he is unlimited and all-knowing. And so I'm not going to put limitations on him and say, I have arrived. There's always more. There's always more. He says, I'll make you then into a great nation. You know, you can't do something that's already done. Let's just get some real deep philosophy here. God, we're believing you for a gym. Well, that would be pretty ignorant because we're already in a gym. See, something that's already done, you're not standing on a promise because the promise has already been revealed and you've been in it. God, I'm believing you that I'm going to get married. You better not be praying that if you're married. See, you're not going to, you don't pray for something you've already received. So you got to know that when he says, I will make you into a great nation, they weren't that. That's what I'm trying to show. They weren't a great nation at that point. I will make you a great nation. What does that mean? That means that the kingdom of God, the nation of God, is not complete yet, and he's still making us as his people into a great nation. Heaven's coming. It's going to be really good, but his kingdom be done here. How does that happen? By Christians getting a hold of the promises of God and living them. Abraham is us if we can understand the blessing that is ours because we are the seed. A land will be shown. When you get that land, he'll make you into a great nation. And then he goes on and says, he will bless you and make you known. Christians need to be known. They don't need to be in hiding. They need to be known. Christians need, people need to know that you have the answer. I got the answer. People come to me, what do you think about this? There are sometimes I go, I don't have a clue. But you know, most of the time a scripture will come to mind. I don't know here, but here's what I do know. Here's what I do have. Here's what I do. Because, well, how does that happen? Because God says that part of that seed, as it materializes, means that your name is known. Praise God. I want Christians' names being known everywhere. We're praying for Christians to be in our government, are we not? We know their names. See, there's a promise of God for the Christian people, and we need the people who are, well, you just need to leave politics out of the church. That's crazy. It's crazy. Why would you leave? The whole thing we want politics to be is lined up with the Word of God. So we got to get the Word of God out of the four walls of the church and names of God's people known. Why? So that they can get other people to know the name of Jesus. I just think it's important. You've got to know after your name's known, then the promise goes on to you will be able to bless others. There will be a blessing that comes to others because of you. Are other people blessed because of you? It's a great question. It's a promise of God. It's part of the seed being cultivated and being worked. And you will be protected. Boy, I tell you, that's a big deal. Protection for God's people. Pastor, okay, I get all this. I get your message. I understand. This is just the intro. Here's what you need to understand. I know that a lot of people hear all that and go, amen, that's great, but I'm not there. I'm not there. I'm just not there yet. So what do you do while you're waiting on the promise of God? What do you do? What do we do while we're waiting on this? See, I know what he said. Well, you need to live like you know what he said. I know what he said, and I know where I'm going, and I'm going to live like I know that. See, God says his promises are yes and amen. We sing songs about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, but as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him was yes. Well, Pastor, what is, for all the promises of God, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. The glory of God through us. The glory of God through us. Abraham was the avenue for God's blessing. You are the seed of Abraham. The avenue for so many blessings of God needs to be God's people. Amen. See that? Well, what are his promises? His promises are yes. Well, what does that mean? That means when you understand and start living on the promises, then they are for the seed of Abraham, which is me. And we sit here and live in doom and gloom, and we need to understand, well, wait a minute here. I can live exactly what the Bible says is mine. The blessings are mine. Well, I don't know. Do you know what's going on with the stock market? I'm talking about the blessings of God. I'm not talking about the fallen world right now. I'm talking about living above it, not under it. I'm not under any circumstances. I've been talking about this a lot. I'm over the circumstances. Why? Because I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm blessed in. I'm blessed out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed out of the city. Where else can you be? I mean, I'm what the Bible says that I can be because I'm going to live according to the Word of God. So, well, Pastor, that all sounds great, but I'm just not there. Well, you need to live like you're going there. I live like I'm going there. Come on, everybody needs to understand that when you see somebody dressed in a tuxedo in a convenience store, you know that's not their destination. As a Christian, we need to live like we know we're going somewhere. I'm going to the blessings of God and I'm dressed like I am. I'm living like I am. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and he said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord. Very, very significant here. If you go on in verse 8, after that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. And there he built another altar and decided and dedicated it to the Lord. Another altar, dedicated it to the Lord. And then he worshiped the Lord. So he had already built one and then he went somewhere else and traveled a little bit and he built an altar there. Chapter 13, verse 1. So Abram left Egypt, traveled north into the Negev, along with his wife and Lot and all that they owned. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. And from there, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel. And they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai and where they had camped before. Remember me telling you the story of where Grandpa had been? See, Grandpa had been there before, and so he recognized and remembered where he had been. Very significant here. Verse 4, because it says this was the same place where Abram had built the altar, and there he worshiped the Lord again. In other translations, it says, and there he called on the Lord again. He called on the Lord again. Keep going here. I'll talk about this in a moment. Genesis 13, verse 18. So Abram moved his camp to Hebron and settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. There he built another altar to the Lord. Built another on and on. In the Old Testament, over 400 times altars being built. And we don't preach about them. We don't talk about them much. But an altar over 400 times built. See, an altar provides you the opportunity to always say, right there, God spoke to me at that point in time. And then when you go back by it, you can praise him because that's the promise. God spoke to me right there. And here's, see, you can go back and you go, it was right there. It was right there that God, well, I'm not seeing anything about a blessing. Wait a minute here. When was it that you got the revelation from God that that was yours? You've been living frustrated one day to the other. Oh, wait a minute here. The Bible says that peace is mine. And you're walking frustrated every day. At some point, there needs to be a revelation. And when you get that, you need to have an altar where you can go back and say it was right there. Then I started realizing the blessing of peace is on my life. See, let me show you this pile of rocks that I built and I established. It was right here that God said this to me, and I'm going to stand on the promise that God said right there at that point in time. And I'm not living different. That's what Abraham did. He said, I'm right here. And when I go back by it, I'm going to stop and just talk to God again. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Even though life wasn't just really great right then. Had some little issues going on. But I had a bunch of rocks piled up that I knew that it was right there at that place that God said, here's what my promises are. There are just some things that are only settled at the altar. There are just some things that are only settled at an altar. Really, yeah. Because it was at that altar that you built that you settled it in your own heart and mind. The sad thing is, when you don't have an altar, then you don't ever live settled. And I want to have a settlement in my own mind that this altar is established. Because there are negatives that come back against you after you've had an altar experience. Let me just give you personal testimony. There are some altar experiences that I've had in my life. And all of us have. I can go back to April 27th, 1992. My wife walking down the stairway in the living room of a house that has now burned. But I can take you to the exact spot where I saw her walk down in that beautiful dress and look at me. And it was that day and time that I realized, whew, God's blessings are real. And I was blown away that God would allow me to receive her as his blessing for my life. And I was, whoa. Countless times walking in that living room, looking at those stairs and remembering the day she walked down right there into my life. Now, why would you bring that up? Because the next 7 years were hell. I mean, horrible. And you wouldn't believe the times that I walked right into that stairway and said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know, but I know that it was right here that you promised me this woman. And I got to figure it out. And I ain't got it figured out, but I had a pile of rocks right there. Are you hearing the symbolic of what I'm... There was a pile of rocks that said, this is different. This is where I'm... This is what you... And see that staircase, and I knew that God had spoken his blessing would be on our marriage, and we weren't figuring it out. And I'm like, what are we going to do? And I mean, I'm talking bad stuff in our marriage. I don't even like to remember any of that. What I like to remember is the promise. And now I can jump forward in our history of marriage and go, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that there were times I could walk by this altar that I established in my mind and that was established in a location and I remember it. See, you got to know that you know that you know that God has spoke. It's a sad thing for me when people say, boy, I miss God. And it's also a sad thing when someone says, I heard from God. And then they walk into something and they're like, oh, wait a minute here. I didn't expect it to be like this. What I want to say is hold on. You need to have an altar experience where you have put a bunch of rocks down and said, God, by your word, by your promises to me, I know that I have a pile of rocks that I can stare at until your promise comes. Now I just got a pile of rocks here. See, friends can't do that for you like that pile of rocks can bring your mind back to. Friends can't, counseling cannot do this for you. I'm sitting here counseling people right and left about problems. What I'm telling you is no counseling's going to fix what the Word of God can do in your life. There's just not counseling that can fix that. A pile of rocks sitting there that says, by the power of God and what He spoke into my heart and life and the covenant that I have established with Him, I'm going to live on that pile of rocks. Until the promise comes. You know, a good book can't do that for you. The good book can do it. There is going to be a time when you've got to go back and stare at a pile of rocks. I don't know how else to tell you that, but that's going to have to happen, and you got to live your life on a pile of rocks. You got to live your life on an altar experience where you know that you know that you know. I remember being called to preach in the summer of 2004, and I can't tell you the amount of times that I questioned God. God, are you sure? It was a whole lot more fun just singing, being on a bus, traveling across the country, rolling out the red carpet. Now I got everybody mad at me. We went and watched Aladdin yesterday. Huh. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it's about this guy that gets a lamp and rubs it, and this genie comes out. There ain't nothing scriptural about that at all. Just a big make-believe story. But my wife and I got to talking about it. Because it was just her and I that went to the movie. We didn't take grandkids. That's what you do when you get old. You watch grandkid movies together. That's what we did. So we're sitting there, and after we get in the car and we're heading out, I said, you ever thought about what would be your three wishes? And she said what I wasn't expecting. No. She said, I thought about it the whole movie. My first wish is that I wouldn't make people so mad. I'm serious. I just wish I didn't make people so mad, but boy, I sure do. You know how you don't have to make people mad no more? Quit being the pastor of a church. You don't have to make mad. Problem is, I got a pile of rocks where God spoke to me in 2004. And as much as people get mad at me, I know that God said, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm still right where he called me. And there's countless times I've had to go back to that pile of rocks. I can tell you where it was. I remember my wife and I, me telling her what God had spoke and what he said that I was supposed to be doing. And we're talking about it, and I remember a peace coming over me. And a peace coming over her, and we said, all right, Lord, we submit to the call on our life. And there's a pile of rocks, and I don't care how bad it gets when I'm preaching or when I'm pastoring or when I got somebody mad at me, I got to go back to that pile of rocks. Say, God, you got a call. I got to do whatever I can to make it right to the best of my ability. I know a lot of people got mad at Jesus. I'm not Jesus. A whole lot more people are mad at him. I've not hung on a cross yet. I can make it. Not planning on hanging on a cross either, by the way. We were just wandering to and fro, trying to figure out what to do. And I just don't know what we're going to do. And then just like that, God spoke and an altar experience and things changed. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I'm telling you, when God speaks and gives you direction, things change. If you live on what he said. Well, how do you build an altar? You just got to go pick up some rocks. I mean, it ought to be pretty easy. What are the rocks? The rocks are the hard things of life. That's what the rocks represent. Rocks are made by heat and pressure. Boy, this is getting really deep. Are y'all still with me? See, the heat and pressure, and you arrange all of those heat and pressure times of your life. You put them before the Lord. You have a time with the Lord where he speaks, and you says, here's what we're going to do. And you got to know that building an altar doesn't come easy. It's tough. But when you leave the altar, you should have been altered. There should be an altering that has taken place. See, Paul had an altar experience, and it wasn't any fun. You remember the Damascus Road? In Acts, he refers to it several times. Here's what happened, and here's who I am now. See, there are times that I think how difficult married life is and how it'd be a lot easier if I wasn't married. But I've got a pile of rocks that says you can't do that, nor do I want to do that because God spoke. How easy it would be to go back to a former life. How easy it would be. And I'm tired of Christians going back because they don't have a pile of rocks. Come on, we just got to get a pile of rocks where we can start staying steadfast until the promises of God. I'd love to just go play golf every day again. Just do something else. But no. I can't do that because I know. I don't have that option because I have a pile of rocks that says, here's what God's promises. See, when you know that God spoke and you know that you have an altar experience, you can stand strong. I want to end with this scripture, Genesis chapter 15. Verse 8, Genesis 15, verse 8. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it? What's it? He's talking about the land there, but how can I be sure that I can actually possess this and not be under someone else's ownership? How can I have the freedom that it's mine? How can I know that God's promises are mine? Here's what the Lord told him in verse 9. Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. He cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He didn't, however, cut the birds in half. Here's what you need to know that happened right here in verse 11. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but what did Abram do? He chased them away. What do I have to do? You got to go to the altar. You have to offer a sacrifice. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Becoming the sacrifice that you don't have to be. But it does say very clearly in Scripture that we are to be crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. See, I've got to understand that there is always an enemy. There's always a vulture that's wanting to come down and take away what God has promised me. There's always a vulture that wants to come. God said this. Well, I don't know if he did. That's a vulture. And you better chase that vulture away. God said that the blessings are mine. God said that I can stay married. God said this is your gift. God said this. And if I live knowing that he said it, then I'm going to chase every vulture away that says you need to leave her. Amen. See, if there's an altar experience, you got to know there's going to be a vulture. There's going to be a vulture trying to come down and say that's not what happened. And you got to have a pile of rocks for everything in your life. Because there's always a devil, an enemy that wants to come steal, kill, and destroy. And you got to chase him away. Abraham drove him away, it says in verse 11. That's a giant verse. You can know for certain that God will prevail as long as you stand on the promises. You remember that old song? Standing on the promises. Are you standing on the promises of Christ your King? I mean, are you going to stand firm? Establishing altars are very important. It will take time, and God will fulfill his purpose if you have a pile of rocks. Will you turn on a little worship music for just a moment? Here's what I want you to know. I know that this message today was for everyone in here. And I'm not going to have everybody come to an altar. I'm not expecting you to establish an altar here. But you know, there are altars that are established in a church building. Where I remember coming right down, and I remember right there what God spoke into my heart and life on that Sunday, and I write it down. I remember the day that I got baptized. I can take you right to the place. I can take you right to the baptistry. It's still there that I was baptized in. Why is that important? It's just real important. It's real important. My mom gave me the first communion cup of the first communion that I took after I was saved. And I still got it. Why is that important? Did you hear anything I said this morning? I got a pile of rocks in areas of my life where I know God spoke. And maybe God needs to speak to you today and you need to establish an altar. I don't know, but I want you to look at the term altar a little different than maybe you've ever seen it before in Scripture and see it the way the Old Testament designed it to be. Not just a bunch of altars at the front of a church, but a time and a place where God orchestrated his will to be presented into your life and you had revelation knowledge that you never had before. You can always go back to that and say it was at that time and that place that God changed my thinking. And I'm going to live on that. And every time the vultures come and try to change my thinking on that, I'm going to chase them away. Come on, bow your heads with me for just a moment. I'm not even going to have you stand right now. I'm just have you remain seated. But just for a moment, maybe you need to establish an altar here because something happened. God spoke and it may have been, you know, we got people that's been here for 15 years. 14, 15 years, maybe you need to establish an altar right here. Say it was right here at Christian Ministries Church. And right now, I'm going to establish that. And you can do that right in your seat because you're establishing it in your mind. But I want to open the altar for you to maybe step out right where you are. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. People aren't standing. It's not easy. But like I said, heat and pressure. So maybe you need to just come to the altar and say, whoa, wait a minute here. We're going to go back to the promise of God. I don't know. You can get up right now and you can just come. You can stay right where you are. It may not be at this place, but it may have been right here. God spoke something into my heart right here. And I'm still waiting for that promise. I'm still believing for that promise. But right now, that happened here, and I'm going to go back just like Abram did when he passed back through that little town between A and the other. And I'm going to go right there, and I'm going to present myself to God. I'm going to worship God right there. Just some time with the Lord right now. An altar experience. It's an experience. The tough times of life come. The doubting comes. The frustration comes. You better have a pile of rocks. And you know, you can add to those rocks with the heat and pressure that's trying to tell you it's not there anymore. Just let that be another rock on your altar. Well, wait a minute here. I'm standing firm. Father, today, this is a special time. Lord, right now, there are some that obviously have experienced a word from you right here in your church. They're piling up rocks. They're right now saying, I'm standing on your promise by establishing an altar. But God, right now, there are minds right now that are busy. And that didn't all happen right here behind these four walls, but it happened out at a staircase. It happened at another venue. It happened in another location. It happened where you revealed something to them. God, it's not so much a place, it's an experience that they had with you. And in that experience, Lord, I pray that they would establish today an understanding in their hearts and minds that your promises are yes, they're amen, and that they are going to come about. And God, that right now you would make names great, that you would bless your people, that the seed of Abraham is ours because we stay steadfast on your word. We built an altar, and God, that the nation, your nation, would be great because your blessings are real. And it's only for the furthering of your kingdom. And I give you praise for it now. Honor you today. Honor you today. Just pray. Church, just pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just a moment longer. Hallelujah. What a sentence. Hallelujah. Look up here for just a moment. As God had laid this on my heart today, I want you to understand a lot of times we'll judge whether or not a service was good based on what we saw or maybe what we experienced on our own. Let me tell you, today's word will only be good if you establish that word in your own heart. It wasn't something to experience out of sight or to see a mighty move. That wasn't God's call for today. God's call for today's service in my heart and life was to get you to understand that his promises are real and to find a place and a point in time where you can go back. And every time you go back there, you go right there, right there, right there. God spoke right there, and stand on that. Come on, we got to have Christians start standing so that as they stand and the seed then cultivates and becomes fruit, that God will be honored and people will be able to see it, the name will be great, and then his nation will be established. Are you seeing how that works? But we've got to have altars. And we got to stay steadfast. We got to be unshakable, unmovable. We got to be a people who has the same answer. And stand on it. Stand on it. What is that? That's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Will you stand with me this morning?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.